This episode of Intelligent Medicine is brought to you by Colostrum LD from Sovereign Laboratories. Colostrum LD is clinically proven to maintain optimal immune function, eliminate harmful pathogens, and fight infection, as well as cleanse and prevent the absorption of toxins. Adding Colostrum LD daily to your diet provides the essential nutrition needed to maintain optimal health. To order, just go to sovereignlaboratories.com. That's sovereignlaboratories.com. If you're a first-time customer, you can get a full 5-day supply for free. Just go to sovereignlaboratories.com for Colostrum LD. Welcome to today's Intelligent Medicine Podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Ronald Hoffman, and once again, it is time for our weekly Q&A with Layla. It's actually one of my favorite times of the week because, we get unusual questions, and it's a little bit of a challenge to answer them. But fortunately, I have the good offices of Layla Mutin, who's our nutritionist in residence. So if I flag in my response, we can always do a little tag team in answering questions. How's the week going for you?
Okay, not bad.
Okay, well, it's, yeah. Back to
yourself?
Work, Labor Day is behind us, but people are still a little discombobulated because it's Labor Day, but it's also people take a while to get adjusted to the daily routine. The kids are going back to school. Mm-hmm. You can't go from like 0 to 60 in the office. Things are a little sluggish and inefficient.
Yeah.
And then, there's also this matter of the Jewish holidays, which comes smack dab right after Labor Day, which is very unusual. Often Jewish holidays are late September or October. Mm-hmm. So it's like, holiday, go back to work, then,
another holiday again.
Think
about going back to work.
Right. And then it's like the kids are back at school, but then the schools are off for the Jewish holidays. So it's kind of, it's weird, And pretty, before you know it, it'll be football.
Oh, my.
Yeah.
And then before you know it, there'll yes, and then winter.
Yeah.
Farmer's Almanac says we are to have a...
harsh winter.
No. Oh. I heard a very mild and wet winter.
I thought that the Farmer's...
particularly December.
So that goes to show you that somebody posted something about the Farmer's Almanac.
I heard this on the news, on the radio.
Oh, if it was on the radio.
I didn't read it off of Facebook
posting. It must be the absolute truth then, because... Our media is so trustworthy these days.
Oh, yeah.
It's like, you got to believe it. Okay, so thank you.
All right.
So let's get to questions right away this week.
We have an email from Charlie. Dear Dr. Hoffman and Layla, I recently read in an online news release that hydrolyzed collagen obviates the need for glucosamine and chondroitin. In your valued opinions, do you prefer one over another? Or does taking all three offer any advantage? Thank you.
I think that the science on glucosamine and chondroitin is more robust than the science on collagen. Mm-hmm. And except for one type of collagen, which is called type 2 collagen, which is...
UC2.
UC2, undenatured collagen type 2. Where there's not that much research on that, but there is some research. It's from Harvard, and a rheumatologist performed the original research, and it has a moderating effect, especially in rheumatoid arthritis, maybe osteoarthritis. That collagen is a special type. It's not just ordinary collagen. Glucosamine chondroitin, though, even so, remains controversial because, you can see newspaper headlines sporadically that say, new study shows glucosamine chondroitin is worthless. On the other hand, other studies show that it's beneficial.
Yes.
And anecdotally, you can ask some people and they say, well, it doesn't do any good for my arthritis. Other people say it's fantastic for my arthritis.
Yes.
So
there were two big trials almost a decade
ago. One's called the GATE.
GATE and the GUIDE trial, right?
Oh, okay. Wow.
Yes. Both of those were trials on glucosamine chondroitin.
Right.
And they showed the benefits.
Yeah.
Because they did proper therapeutic dosing.
Yeah.
That's another thing. Because the problem with so much scientific research is they're not using proper dosing of these supplements.
I take more than the recommendation, which I think is, I think recommendation is 1,500 and 1,200.
Yes, along those lines.
Standard. So I take about 2,000 and 1,500 for protect. And, knock wood,
Yeah.
You know, is my knees are holding up to the punishment, you know, running on, and I, you know, I think about it, it's like I
running
run
on
asphalt and concrete. Yeah. And
the concrete is the worst, apparently.
But, you know, it's hell for some people, but it's also been shown that the concussion, to some degree, if it's not destructive, helps to regenerate and repair the cartilage.
Mm.
If you have the, if you have the capacity to repair.
Yeah. So taking supplements like that can offer the capacity to repair.
Yeah.
Collagen in the form of soup, bone broth, that's also good. But there's all kinds of collagen powder.
Yeah.
And you know what I find funny?
Yeah.
Get your collagen powder in chocolate flavor. Ew.
Yeah, right.
I want some chicken soup.
Right.
Or some lamb stew or some beef and bone broth.
The other problem I have with it is that collagen, there could be a tremendous markup on it because it's really a waste product of the meat industry. And if you just grind up hooves and sell it to people as a collagen, wow, you know, and you can make a big profit because that stuff is, you know, it's a really cheap commodity.
Mm-hmm.
So there may be a little more quality associated with glucosamine chondroitin, I think, in terms of the refinement of the ingredient. Now, there are different grades of collagen. You know, some collagens are more potent and purer. But I'm not the biggest fan, are you? I'm not.
I like it in the form of, you know, your bone broths and soups and things. Some people really swear by it.
I think that way it works is it works on the gut, actually. And that may in turn have an effect on inflammation in the joints by sealing the joints. So it doesn't necessarily have to go to the joints to help reduce inflammation in the body because it, in leaky gut syndrome, we know the collagen's therapeutic.
So by fixing the gut.
Yeah, address the gut.
Address
first.
The gut, and that takes care of so much more beyond that. So, Charlie, we like them all.
We're equal opportunity about all forms.
Yes. Okay. Thank you for your question. Okay, we've got a question here from Paul. Hi, Dr. Hoffman and Layla. Throughout the day, I chew on some gum. Whilst I sometimes
A kindred spirit. Yeah.
Whilst I sometimes chew on Spry, which contains xylitol, as we know, I often alternate with another gum brand which contains NutraSweet. Could the amount of NutraSweet found in gum have negative health benefits? Yes.
That's an oxymoron. Negative. They wrote health.
Yes.
Negative health benefits.
Yeah, yeah. So negative benefits would be it.
Yeah,
or be unhealthy.
How about negative health detriments?
Detriments.
Yeah, something like that. Okay, so gum chewing is interesting because there's actually some studies that suggest that gum helps concentration. Just merely the act of chewing helps people focus and concentrate. It does something to your brain waves.
Is that like that new toy where they have kids with ADD spinning that toy?
Yeah.
It's like a little top you hold in your hand.
Oh, I didn't know about that. But maybe that's along the same lines. You know, a repetitive activity that sort of entrains the brain to focus.
Knitting is a good one.
Absolutely, yes.
I've been hearing a lot about knitting lately.
I think they've done knitting and they've done like functional MRIs on people while they knit. I wonder if they've done functional MRIs on people while they chew gum.
Huh.
Yeah. So the other thing about gum is, you know, gum, of course, can cause TMJ.
Yeah.
It can cause, you know, jaw strain.
Mm-hmm.
It can cause you to
swallow a lot of air and become bloated and gassy.
Aerophagia, it's called. So you ask if people are gassy and burp a lot.
Yeah,
you know,
and they're chewing gum.
Yeah, so that's definitely part of your nutritional questioning.
Yes.
It may stimulate production of gastric juices, shall we say, or, you know.
It's kind of good if you're using something like Spry, besides the xylitol, but the act of chewing and salivating. Saliva contains a lot of lysozymes. These help with any bacteria.
Right. Unless it's
and
full of sugar.
Cleaning
unless
the
gum is full of sugar.
Exactly.
But the xylitol actually is anti-plaque and anti-biofilm.
Yeah.
And will has sort of an antimicrobial effect, antibacterial effect. So,
but getting NutraSweet in your gum is not a great idea.
Minimize that, you know, because there's some negatives on that. Damage to the microbiome, for example.
Damage to the microbiome. Too much NutraSweet is an excitotoxin.
Right.
Not great for the brain.
Right.
Do you remember back when NutraSweet first came out? I remember watching Oprah when she still had her talk show.
Yeah.
And a lady said, yeah, I drink about 12 Diet Cokes a day or Crystal Light iced tea. And she had a seizure.
Oh.
And it was from all the NutraSweet.
Wow.
Or something.
Okay.
So there is that.
So there's also something new on Splenda, which is sucralfate. And it turns out
sucralose.
Sucralose, right. Sucralfate, I think, is something else.
Okay.
Yeah, sucralose, which has been associated with Crohn's disease. Higher likelihood of Crohn's disease or exacerbations of Crohn's disease if you chew or if you use Splenda as your sweetener. It's usually not in gum, I don't think.
There was a study in the American Journal of Clinical Nutrition where they looked at the use of aspartame, which is NutraSweet, and lymphoma.
Oh, my. Yes, that's right.
They saw an association,
right,
which really merits further review and investigation.
Correlation is not causation, but
you know, but it was
concerning.
Interesting,
right? Yeah. So, you know, obviously,
I might drink a Diet Coke 3 or 4 times a year.
Yeah, sometimes.
But I really have to have a hankering.
Sometimes, what happens is occasionally I'll get off a plane, you know, in some remote location at a conference or something like that. And, you know, I just want to have like a hamburger and a Coke. Mm. And so, you know, I'll indulge myself like maybe, I can't remember when the last time I did it, but, you know, once or twice a year, you know, that's okay. But it damages the microbiome. It may also cause weight gain.
Yes, it will cause weight gain. Mm-hmm. I've had too many low-carb dieters who are having a Diet Coke or some kind of diet soda every day, and they're wondering why they plateaued. Once we eliminate the use of NutraSweet, they start, the weight loss resumes.
What about heartburn and that kind of, those types of
that
symptoms with NutraSweet? Well, have you seen that a little bit?
Not so much about NutraSweet. That's more to do maybe with the carbonation or the phosphoric acid.
Okay.
And the phosphoric acid is not great for bones.
Yeah, I'm thinking of MSG.
Maybe
actually.
You're thinking of MSG.
MSG is a culprit there.
But I've heard the tale of, you know, if you want to clean your coins or your pennies, put them in a glass of Coca-Cola and keep it there overnight, and they'll be nice and shiny.
Right.
All of
and,
that.
And, you know, make
the
sure
acid.
That your kid doesn't drink it afterwards.
Exactly.
Okay. So I think we run that one down.
Yeah. So, Paul, chew spry. Now, the other thing about xylitol, which is otherwise good for anti-cavity, is if you get enough of it, it can have a laxative effect. So beware.
Well, you say good?
Good because it has an anti-cavity effect, but bad because if you have enough of it can be a laxative.
Exactly.
Did I say that backwards?
I just didn't hear the bad part.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So
it can have a laxative effect.
Yeah, and that's also when you do a workup for patients who have irritable bowel syndrome with diarrhea, you ask them about precisely those questions.
Totally.
And then you might also ask in a child if they're drinking a lot of fruit juice or, you know, inadvertently consuming sorbitol.
Yes.
Which is a poorly absorbed
sugar alcohol.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Related to xylitol. That also has a laxative
passes
effect.
On, yeah. Passes right. on through.
Yeah. But, you know, a beneficial effect for some people, perhaps.
Perhaps, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you for your question.
Good point at which to pause. This is an opportunity for one of our sponsors to share an important message with you, so please listen up.
Did you know the benefits of nature's most powerful superfood are universal and always available no matter what your age? This is Dr. Ronald Hoffman with a nutritional supplement I recommend and use that's clinically proven to maintain optimal immune function, eliminate harmful pathogens and fight infection, and cleanse and prevent the absorption of toxins. It's Colostrum LD from Sovereign Laboratories. Adding Colostrum LD daily to your diet provides the essential nutrition needed to maintain optimal health. With Sovereign's proprietary enhanced delivery system, Colostrum LD is the most effective colostrum available. Colostrum LD has wide-ranging health benefits at every stage of life. To order, just go to SovereignLaboratories.com. That's SovereignLaboratories.com. If you're a first-time customer, you can get a full 5-day supply for free. Just go to SovereignLaboratories.com for Colostrum LD.
Thanks for listening, and thanks for supporting our sponsors. They're what make Intelligent Medicine a free, continuing resource to you. And now back to Layla with some more questions.
Let's see here. Here's an interesting one. This comes from Tracy. Hello, Dr. Hoffman. My name is Tracy. I've recently been hospitalized for a partial small bowel obstruction that was relieved after a few days of bowel rest. However, Last year, I had an emergency appendectomy and small bowel obstruction at that time as well. I'm 51, I'm 114 pounds, I'm dairy-free, wheat-free. I follow your diet recommendations closely. Can you suggest a diet lifestyle supplement program to reduce my chances of reoccurrence? Yes, but that's a consultation.
Yeah, that's what it is. But you know, just thinking out loud, I mean, what we would have to do an analysis of what's causing
the obstruction.
Yeah, right.
Where's that inflammation coming from?
Yeah, so obstructions can be caused by actually too much fiber sometimes, mm-hmm. but that's usually not the small intestine, that's the large intestine.
Yes.
Yeah. I believe that's a condition that's related more to the large intestine. Mm-hmm. And very high fiber diets can cause what's called volvulus, which is the twisting
yes.
of the large intestine and can be a form of obstruction, which heralds itself with loss of appetite, nausea, vomiting, mm-hmm. and pain.
Because you're obstructed.
Yeah, because it's just nothing wants to go down and everything, you upchuck everything.
You want to reduce the amount of insoluble fibers, whether they be very grains, bran, but you know, fruits and vegetables with skins, mm-hmm. celery, kind of too, because of the fibrous,
right.
Not a skin, but the outer
right.
of the stalk.
So this is a situation where you might take the tried and true advice, eat a lot of fiber, and maybe suggest a lower residue diet.
That's a much lower residue diet.
That's part of your nutritional arsenal is
yes.
what is called a low residue diet. Mm-hmm. When might you apply a low residue diet?
For somebody who's had obstruction?
Or short bowel. In other words,
exactly.
they've had resections and they have mm-hmm. less digestive surface.
They have strictures or
okay.
they have any kind of narrowing.
Scarring. Right.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. People who've had colostomy. Mm-hmm. Ileostomy, that kind of a thing, and there are strictures, mm-hmm. or stools just harder to pass,
but
that type of a thing.
The only thing is, I think in conventional nutrition, mm-hmm. they sometimes, you see that often on in hospital instructions from the nutritionists, low residue diet. And is that overdone in hospitals? You know, because then basically give you this really
They'll give you mush and a lot of refined carbohydrates.
Right.
Really very, very low fiber, but very poor nutritional quality foods.
Right.
Unfortunately. When it could just be a matter of taking the skin off the vegetables, the outer and your fruits, maybe pureeing some things in this instance would be better so that you can consume those fruits and vegetables, mm-hmm. which are only beneficial. So I think they go a little too far in saying, eat Wonder Bread instead of your apple with the skin on it and your asparagus and all of that.
Unfortunately, I don't think there's a pat answer to this question.
No, we would want to investigate why Tracy has these obstructions to begin with.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe there's inflammatory bowel disease,
Yeah, I mean, that's a common
that's a common
symptom in Crohn's mm-hmm. disease.
Mm-hmm. Oh, you know what? We may be understanding this a little wrong. Small bowel obstruction, a partial small bowel obstruction. Maybe she means the obstruction is small, not in the small bowel.
A small bowel obstruction.
Yes.
As opposed to
Right.
As small bowel.
Yes. Instead of I'm just looking at this saying, wait a minute.
The little bowel obstruction.
That changes. Yes, exactly. It's still a low fiber, low residue diet. I wonder if she has then residual scarring, strictures from the appendectomy she had. So that's something.
Right. Hmm. Yeah. You know what happens is there's this thing which is called adhesions.
Yeah.
Which is the bane of the surgical profession from the very beginning of surgery is, you do surgery and you mess everything up inside. And then there's all this sort of glue that forms around your organs and keeps your organs, instead of being free floating, they're adhering to one another. They're adhesive. And so there's sometimes a second operation called lysis of adhesions. They just go in and they try and disentangle the bowels and slice and dice and cut without cutting through the bowels. It's a very complex surgery, delicate. And they're always trying to come up with ways to prevent post-surgical adhesion. They're coming up with these magic powders that they can spread in the abdomen when the abdomen is open, so that the abdomen, the parts that have been operated on, don't glue together.
Yeah.
Yeah. They're sort of these anti-adhesive compounds. They haven't really come up with the ultimate anti-adhesion.
What about systemic enzymes? Would these be helpful for adhesions, or only for the prevention of scar tissue?
Maybe the prevention of them developing. Once they develop, it's not going to dissolve them away.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
Yeah. So this is what is occurring in her. And, you know, certainly if you've had a bad appendicitis, like a ruptured appendicitis with, like, spewing of bacterial contents throughout
emergency
your abdomen.
Emergency open appendectomy.
Well, there you go. If it's open, it means it's a big deal. Probably there was, like, pus and white blood cells and bacteria that got into the peritoneum and maybe caused adhesions. So I think that probably, you know, sometimes we have to work back from what people say.
Yeah.
What she probably has are adhesions, and the adhesions cause the obstruction. So is there a nutritional strategy to dissolve the adhesion? No vitamin does that, and no special diet, and it argues for some caution with the types of food you eat.
Yeah, yeah. Tracy, thank you for your question. Best of luck. All right. Let's see here. This comes from Brad. Dear Layla and Dr. Hoffman, I'm a very active and fit 48-year-old male. I use a typical water filter pitcher, and for optimal health purposes, this is why I use it, but is there a need to add electrolytes to it? Or would you recommend sometimes consuming organic coconut water? Or is all this unnecessary? I've not seen a pitcher filtration system where it's necessary to re-add electrolytes. I've not seen that.
I got an email about a product that is a tasteless additive for just this purpose. You know, I can look it up, and maybe in a future podcast I'll mention the name of it, but there probably are products out there that are designed to re-add the electrolytes that are removed by filtration.
Yeah.
And the key ones that you want are a little magnesium, maybe a little sodium, and maybe, you know, some potassium and they said is that this is from the Great Salt Lake, which has, so it has all these, like, peculiar things, like some chromium and some vanadium and boron and all these kinds of things that are like these so-called trace minerals that are removed from water when water is purified and refined. And so it's sort of like, you know, putting the whole wheat bread into your Wonder Bread, you know, after you know, some people think that, you know, tap water is like, white bread, you know, because it's been, and certainly if you distill the water, you're going to really get rid of everything.
Yes.
But also water filtration units may remove some of the good with bad. So this is some additive that some company's putting out as, you know, you put a packet in your water and it doesn't taste like much. Maybe it changes the flavor a little bit.
Yeah. Well, Brad, especially in hot weather, salt your food a little bit, unless you have high blood pressure.
Or buy mineral water.
Buy mineral water. Yeah. One of my favorite is Pellegrino.
Pellegrino.
Yeah.
Apollinaire. I had Apollinaire the other day. It's a little pricey, but it had a very nice taste. And it has like a sort of a...
It's got a little bite.
Yeah.
These mineral waters. It's nice.
Yeah. It's got a little bit of...
I like that little carbonation too.
Well, you know, I'm so used to... I use a soda stream at home. And so that's basically water plus bubbles. And different, that's carbonated water. It's different than mineral water or sparkling water, because mineral
seltzer,
water. Yeah, seltzer and carbonated water, pretty much the same. I think they put some sodium in certain seltzers sometimes, but just sodium. But carbonated water, you just carbonate it and you don't add any minerals. And so that's the advantage of a mineral water, is that you may get a mineral content. And, you know, various wells and spas pride themselves on the properties of their mineral waters, that they're very healing or that they have more lithium or something like that.
Ah, you know, that's, lithium. That makes could you calm feel everybody
good,
down.
Makes you less manic, you know, whatever.
Can help your bipolar. No, help won't. Don't rely on the water for that.
Don't try this at home.
Yeah, don't try this at home. Well, with regard to organic coconut water, benefits of coconut water. There's loads of potassium in it, which is nice.
Right.
But it's quite sweet. I personally don't like the taste of it at all. I just don't like this stuff.
Yeah, it's almost cloyingly sweet if you're not used to drinking a lot of sweet stuff. It has some magnesium. It has no sodium. So, you know, if you're looking... So, for example, when athletes tell me, oh, I you know, I replete my minerals with coconut water. Mm. You know, on a hot day, I drink coconut water. Well, you know, the main thing you're losing is sodium.
Yeah.
So, you know, you're not, if you're not repleting that, you're going to just get, you're going to dilute your sodium. You're going to become hyponatremic.
Yes.
Which is also not good because that'll make you weak in the legs and, you know, ultimately it can result in brain swelling, and coma. You know, which some people die
of. You almost want to take a lick of salt and drink some water.
Put some salt in your coconut water.
Yeah.
Sometimes what I do on a long bike ride is I'll just put some ordinary sea salt into a bottle of water with, I use a product called reacted magnesium because I like it's got a sweet stevia flavor. And
I take the capsule form of that.
You're not getting the sweet.
No, I'm not.
So you put a scoop of the magnesium into a bottle of water and in my, you know, water bottle, and then maybe, you know, like a half teaspoon of salt so that I get some sodium because I'm, you know, on these hot days, you just sweat a ton and you lose sodium.
So
just by drinking, you actually may go a little hyponatremic and there's a dilutional effect on your sodium, which can make you feel weaker.
The ultimate thing would be having some salty broth. But you don't want to drink something hot on a hot day either. They're finding ways to make an iced tea type beverage out of these broths now. So let's see.
Okay.
Let's see what happens with all that. Because I like my soup hot, unless it's vichyssoise or something like that. Okay.
Not a lot of soup stands on my bike route. All right, we're going to pause because we divide our podcasts into two parts. Those of you who are used to it. Q&A with Layla. So, you know, take the LP and flip it over and drop the needle back down and listen to side two in just a few moments. So what's our next question? Give us a preview.
Help! I've been experiencing chronic diarrhea for several months.
Oh, okay. That's a predicament. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman, and this is the Intelligent Medicine Podcast.